So Kathy and I really like to go camping, especially we like to go camping with our grandkids and our kids. It's just an amazing time. Our sons, two boys, love the campfire. You can't get to the campsite and go, you know what, maybe in an hour or two we'll have a campfire. We're there 2 minutes and it's, can we start a fire? Can we have a fire? They just love the campfire. And once we get the fire lit, we never have to worry about it going out. And you don't have to worry about a dirty campsite because they've picked up every little tiny stick they can find. And they've, from a safe distance, we draw a line in the, this was when they were really young, we would draw a line in the dirt. Don't go past that. You have to throw from there. And they would throw them in the fire continually. We had a great, all three of our grandsons would do that. Sam, Lee's little guy back then, he was involved too. Now, things are a little different now. They're not satisfied with throwing little twigs on the fire anymore. They want to chop the firewood and put the big sticks on the fire. And now it's not a matter of trying to keep the fire going. Now we sort of have to go, you know what, we're only supposed to have a campfire, not a bonfire in the middle of the campsite. But fires are great, you know. They never let the fire go out. Fires are great for cooking meals, keeping warm in the evening, telling scary stories around. Fires are good for just to sit around and relax and have a good conversation. I love that time of camping, just when Kath and I are just sitting around the fire and talking. And they're a great excuse to have snacks and junk food. You can have all you want. Campfires are a lot of fun. But if you don't continually put another log on the fire, it will eventually go out. And you know what happens then? We get cold, it gets dark, and it's bedtime. And the boys, they don't want bedtime, so they keep the fire burning. Why do I share this with you? Well, John the Baptist said that he would baptize the people with water. But Jesus was coming, and he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was being poured out, the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke wrote in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us. In fact, if you go back in the Old Testament, the Israelites were led through the desert. How? By a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. It seems pretty clear that the fire symbolizes the Holy Spirit, especially when we read a verse like 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Question might be, how does the Holy Spirit become the fire of God in our lives? Well, it all starts the moment we accept Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. As we confess our sins and believe Jesus paid the price for them, at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, comes within us. Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 63, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us that life, who gives us spiritual life, which enables us to live in God's kingdom, both now and forever, for eternity. The Holy Spirit starts a work within us. He starts a fire within our lives. He starts to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, as we read in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Each part of the fruit is like a log that is put on a fire. It is what burns bright for others to see who we really are. We are going to talk more about each of these logs in the weeks to come. The more these characteristics are evident in our lives, the brighter the fire is for others to see the Lord revealed in our lives to them. It is the Holy Spirit who starts the spiritual fire in us. And if the fire of the Holy Spirit is inside us, I want us just to take a moment and let's go back to that scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, where we read, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." Is it really possible to put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, when our grandchildren were really young, they weren't concerned with what they threw on the fire. They threw anything they found on the ground and threw it on the fire. Could be a branch with a bunch of green leaves, and they threw it on the fire, big maple leaves. They threw them on the fire before they were dried out. They would throw them on the fire. If the leaves were wet, it didn't matter. They went on the fire. If it was wet wood, it went on the fire. It didn't matter. And you know, created a lot of smoke, not much fire. In fact, it started to stifle the fire and dampen the fire. And it could have eventually put it out. As the Holy Spirit works within our lives, He starts that fire to burn and even sets that ablaze inside us. But it's possible to dampen it and by putting green and wet logs of our sinful nature into it. We're on it. Paul tells us that our flesh, our sinful nature, is continually at war with our spirit. Listen to what Paul says just before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, we were talking about those good logs of and that. Listen to what he says just before that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. This is what we read. "When we follow the desires of our sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." Paul tells us that anyone who puts these things into their lives, onto the fire of the Holy Spirit, will start to smother the Spirit's fire. If we continually put these things into our lives, there's a good possibility that we can put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, we read through lists like this in the Bible, and we just sort of skim over these lists, and we don't really look at them and think about them. So I want us to take some time just to look at this list a little closer. What are some of the desires of our sinful nature that will smother the fire of the Holy Spirit? The first thing Paul mentions here is sexual immorality, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, saying that it was sex outside of marriage. And you know, that word, the Greek word here, is also the word which we, the root of that Greek word is the word which we get pornography from. So pornography would be included in sexual immorality. And I would not want to count the times I have seen this wet log of sexual immorality put out the Spirit's fire. Really, especially in young people's lives who you've counseled them and and said, you know, this isn't a wise decision. You need to put some boundaries in your life. And next thing you know, the shame and guilt has started to put out the fire of the Spirit. Paul continues on with a word, impurity. The Greek here means dirty and impure, which is especially used in connection with sexual sins. So it's relatively close to the sexual immorality. And next is lustful pleasures or debaucheries, as some translations use. This is following one's passions and desires to the point of having no shame or of public decency. Like, it doesn't matter what my language is like when I'm around other people. I can use whatever language I want. It doesn't matter how I dress. And I guess the thing that came to me what came to me was the Pride Parade and the way some of the folks dress in the Pride Parade down in Vancouver. It's just outrageous. And yet, there's no shame. It is where our desire for what we want, no matter how evil, takes precedent to the other things or wants. It is when we come to a point of not caring of what others think of us, and we are going to do what we want, even if it's offensive to others. That's lustful pleasures. I think that would put a pretty big dampening piece of wood on the fire of the Holy Spirit. Paul now comes to idolatry, and this is when we worship a person or a thing by placing them in higher authority in God. It would be like me putting Kathy, my wife, who I love dearly, but putting her above God. That would be adultery. Or if I, if I put camping and sports or money or possessions or anything that comes before God, it becomes idolatry. And none of these things, having any of these things or doing any of these things are wrong. But when they become before God, you know, it's more important to go camping and my leisure time than to spend time with God, then there's an issue. Goes right back to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. The very first commandment is, do not place anything before God. And then we read sorcery or witchcraft is next on the list. And this is more about black magic and mixing potions to conjure up spirits. But it also includes worship of the devil and demons. It includes things like tarot card reading, fortune telling, conjuring up the dead spirits and wanting to talk, and there's Saul did that with Samuel in the Old Testament. Those kind of things. When we allow those things into our lives, they're like a wet log on the fire. And then there's hostility or hatred. This is an extreme dislike towards others. This seems to be becoming more prevalent in our society. And to a large scale, we see it in all these protests. And I'm not saying the protests are wrong, what the people are protesting are wrong. But what I'm saying is the attitude between the people and one another, the hatred that's coming out, is incredible. And even when we look at the nations, how they negotiate with one another, and the hatred that is expressed between one another is just unbelievable. Is it no wonder that the Holy Spirit can't move freely across our world? Don't you think that might be a wet log on the moving of the Holy Spirit? But Paul doesn't stop there as he continues on with quarreling. This is a bitter conflict with a heated discussion. Now, none of us would be involved in that because we know that we're all supposed to live at peace with one another, and we don't have any heated discussions. You can ask my wife, there's never a heated discussion in our home. No, I thank my wife that she's a peacemaker. But, you know, over the years, I've heard of people quarreling over things like the color of the carpet that we're going to put in the sanctuary. Serious quarreling. Or what color we're going to paint the sanctuary. Or here's a one that I've heard over and over. The music. Well, the music's too contemporary. Oh, the music's too old-fashioned. Oh, the music is for God and it's not for us. But we quarrel over it. Or what translation the pastor uses. Man, I've heard people quarrel over that. You know, it's not wrong to have an opinion about the color of the carpet or the paint or the worship music or the translation of the Bible you prefer. But can't we as Christians work those things out? Can't we resolve those things or at least agree, you know, like, yeah, I don't really, the carpet's, oh, it's okay. It's not really the color I would choose. Okay. It's not the worship. I told you the story about worship. I mean, I remember when I was down at my mom's church years and years ago, and I just thought, oh, this worship is just painful. And God just said, oh, it is, eh? Well, I'm kind of enjoying it, and it's for me, and it's not for you. So get your attitude right and start worshiping. We need to not get everything uptight. Put dampens the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, when I was at my mom's church, it dampened the Holy Spirit in my life until God dealt with me and I got my attitude right and I started worshiping. Then Paul mentions jealousy, and which is envy or covet someone else, what they have. Maybe it may be a material possession or maybe a skill or a gifting that they have, and we covet it and we desire it. Again, we go right back to Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Start with the first commandment. It's the last commandment. Don't covet your neighbor's wife or anything your neighbor owns. Don't covet. It'll dampen the Spirit's fire. And then outbursts of rage or anger is the next. I would actually like to just skip over this one. It hits too close to home for me. Before I was saved, it was a huge thing in my life. Anger was a huge thing I struggled with. I'd like to tell you that since I've been saved, it hasn't been a problem. But I'd be lying, and that would be another wet log on the fire. So I don't want to put too many wet logs on the fire. But every once in a while, it's something I struggle with, and I need to be on top of it. Have you ever put the wet log of selfish ambition on the fire, on the Spirit's fire? This is when it's all about putting ourselves first. You know, not your will, but my will be done. And, well, unless your will lines up with mine, God, or your will lines up with mine, then we're all good. If we're all on the same page and it's my will, then, boy, it is going after what will elevate ourselves to where we want to be, no matter what the cost. We want to elevate ourselves. It doesn't matter how we get there. It doesn't matter if I'm working in a company and I'm working up the corporate ladder and I tear down the guy that's right ahead of me just trying to get that position that I want, and I can just put in something there that lets the boss see something that would let me look a little better than Joe. Yeah, selfish ambition. The next two are very similar. They are dissension and division. Dissension is doing something which would divide or split the family of God. Where division is forming cliques, you know, like this group of people here, they're all together and they're super spiritual and they don't want anybody else in, you know. What happens when we do that? We just have division and dissension. And it eliminates all the one another scriptures, right? Like, love one another, encourage one another. Like, the wet log of envy is very similar to that of jealousy. That is when we have a strong dislike of another person who has something we desire. Well, I really like that new car Mel got. And because she's got it and I don't, it just bugs me and I don't like her. Like, what's that about? The last two, drunkenness and wild parties, seem to go together. And these are two wet logs, for sure, that go against the Holy Spirit, who does everything in decency and in order. These wet logs would definitely stifle the fire of the Holy Spirit. And just in case whatever we're struggling with doesn't fit into the list, Paul wants to make sure you know, and other sins like these. You know, if you think you're, well, I'm okay with this, I'm okay with lying, or I'm okay with whatever, yeah, other sins like these. They all put damp logs, wet logs on the fire. And Paul writes that this is not the first time he has warned his readers about these sins. These wet logs. In fact, he tells us if we continue to put these wet logs on the fire, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. We will put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's a pretty strict warning, pretty severe warning. If we have these things in our lives, if we keep piling those things into our lives, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's only one other place to go if we don't inherit the kingdom of God when our life ends here. See, when our grandsons put those wet wood on the fire, or those leaves in the fire, all was not lost, though. Because we could take the wet wood off the fire, or the wet leaves, we could take them off and then put some good wood on the fire. If we put wet wood on the Holy Spirit's fire, all is not lost. If we've been doing it, all is not lost. We must come and ask Jesus for forgiveness. And then we must repent, and repenting is taking the wood, the wet wood, off the fire. It's going, I'm not using that anymore. I'm not getting involved in that anymore. I'm finished with that. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 assures us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to help us take the wood off the fire and make us right and allow that fire to start burning. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the good dry wood which we can put on the fire of the Holy Spirit, which will make it burn bright for others to see. That's why we burn bright. Not so we look good. It's so others see Jesus in our lives. And they come to know him. That's why. That's why Maggie got baptized. That's why she didn't want to wait. She'd kept putting dry wood on the fire. We all got to continue to do that. And there's times when we will put the wet wood on the fire. We're all human. We've got that sinful nature inside us, unfortunately. And sometimes they're big wet logs, and sometimes they're just little wet logs. But whatever they are, we need to deal with them when the Holy Spirit reveals that, hey, that's damp wood you just threw on top of my fire. You need to get that off, Scott. You need to deal with that. And as we ask for forgiveness, the fire starts to burn again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We We thank you for the amazing testimony of Maggie and her baptism and what a great day that was. And we thank you that your desire is that our fires burn bright, that the Holy Spirit burns bright within us. Lord, help us not to put wet wood on the fire. And when we do, Father, cleanse us and purify us as we come to you. Help us to continue to put the dry wood on the fire that it needs. May we not put out the fire, but may we allow it to burn bright in our lives. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.